The WYSL stations present an hour of truth for the battered but proud people of the Empire State. From the financial and entertainment epicenter of New York City to the sleeping and empty small cities and towns of upstate, which once bustled with manufacturing, mining, and farming. We all know from inspiration, history, and nature, we deserve a return to the success and growth of generations past, a birthright being squandered by corruption in Albany, and the depredations of an insecure, scheming mountebank posing as governor, who loathes both us and himself. As liberty beckoned to enslaved peoples behind the Iron Curtain via American broadcasts after World War II, we now say, believe, rise, and join us. Welcome to Radio Free New York.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Radio Free New York. I'm your host, Andrew Hollister, and we're in the WYSL studios with Bob Savage.
I don't think I can do the show today.
No. Why not?
I'm so depressed.
Oh, why are you depressed?
Well, because it's all going to be over in 12 years anyway. What's the point?
12 years? Why 12 years?
AOC says we're done in 12 years.
Oh, I think you're talking about the Green New Deal. Is that what we're talking about?
Well, of course. I mean, what's the point?
Yeah.
Because it's all going to be over in 12 years unless we do a bunch of things that Cory Booker says are impossible. I don't know what to do.
Well, you know, so it's interesting. So for those of you who are, you know, tuning in here on the show, welcome. And for our friends on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, welcome you guys as well. I saw just a lot of people posting about the Green New Deal.
I'm thinking, yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I try to be up to date on everything I can, but I hadn't read it yet. And I was like, you know what? I think I need to look into this. And then I was this morning was a pretty rough morning for me, actually. This weekend was. I ended up working through the whole entire weekend. Didn't get home till like after midnight Saturday and Friday. And I think I made it home around like 10 last night. So I was just like straight work. And I didn't get to catch up on anything. And I asked my wife, I said, crap, what am I going to talk about on the radio? Like, I didn't read anything relevant, you know.
And she said, crap? You said, crap? How about this?
Yeah. And she's like, hey, you know that thing you posted on Facebook the other day about AOC and her $10 million deal? Like, that was good. Talk about that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. So I'm going to intro it with this. There's an article out there, and from everything I can see, it's correct, but, you know, it has yet to be seen, that apparently Netflix has offered her and signed a deal with her, a $10 million deal, to be able to create a series on her story, how she got elected. And
her story?
Her everything. Yeah, $10 million. So when I saw this,
She's been in office a freaking month.
Yeah. I mean, it's you can't deny, though, the press that she's getting. I mean, we talked about it in the last show.
Yeah. Well, you know, before we went on the air, I said I have a theory about all this. But go ahead. I don't want to jump the gun.
Yeah. We'll jump right into that. My response was, oh, $10 million to a socialist. Is she going to redistribute that? Is she going to take that and put it into paying for this Green New Deal? You know, so that was my post. That's kind of what started this. So this morning, I'm like, I'm going to print this off. Thank goodness it's only 14 pages and not the original, like, you know, it could have been some of these bills are like hundreds, if not thousands of pages long.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, yeah. That gives you a hint right there.
Yeah.
But, well, first of all, this isn't legislation. This is a resolution. Right? Yeah.
Yep. Well, and it's been signed by a number of people in Congress already.
Well, all of the Democrat candidates have thrown in with this thing.
All of them now?
Okay. I think so. Well, Klobuchar just announced, so I don't know if she's signed up for it or not.
Okay.
But I believe, I mean, over the weekend, Cory Booker was, you know, he was frothing at the mouth about this and making, frankly, laughable statements. We can go into that, too, if you want.
Sure. Yeah, I think Pelosi came out against it, though, which was kind of surprising. She like said something like, "Well, yeah, we need to rein her in," or something right. like that.
Ocasio-Cortez is a problem for Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, for a lot of the Democrat Party. But I can't remember a single case of someone who had been in office a month and the party leadership was already talking about coming up with primary challengers.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't recall anything like that. So what I've got, when I came into the studio today, I actually brought in a copy of the Green New Deal here for you guys. And I tried to read it this morning. I just kind of glazed through it real quick, put a couple highlights for us to hit as we go through. Bob hasn't seen it yet either. So we're all just going to kind of explore it together, I guess, and see what it's all about.
Well, I looked at the first two pages while the intro was playing, and I saw about 12 lies, so...
Yeah, actually, that's what my pink highlighter is, like, very questionable facts that need to be checked later on. So I didn't have time to check that right away. But I'll tell you what, my very first... the very first thing I noticed about this, and I kind of told you guys this already, is when I hit print, it was only 14 pages. And I was like, only 14 pages. Wow. I was like, that's pretty short. So then I Googled, you know, our favorite one, I think, in the nation, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. And I was like, oh, that's initial submission was 2,700 pages. And then when it was put into regulations, it became 20,000 pages.
I think McCain-Feingold is bigger.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's but yeah, I mean, this, so it's pretty short. So I figured, yeah, we can get through this. You know, there's so much in here, even just in the beginning, that I think this is just like fluff to get you interested in reading it or something.
Well, the first thing I notice is fudging. I mean, you know, from the original announcement, what was that? These many days ago. Like 6 days ago, when Ocasio-Cortez first came out with this whole thing, first of all, she was talking about zero carbon emissions by 2030.
Yeah.
Then over the week, the light bulb comes on, and they come up with net zero emissions in the next 10 years. Yeah. Now, here on page two of this dopey resolution, the Green New Deal, global temperatures must be kept below 1.5 degrees Celsius above. What? Who drafted this thing? Must be kept below 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrialized levels to avoid the most severe impacts of a changing climate, which will require global reductions in greenhouse gas emissions from human sources of 40 to 60% from 2010 levels by 2030. First of all, they were talking about 90%. No, it was. Zero by 2030.
Yeah.
And then during the week, they went to net zero. Oh,
yeah.
Net zero. What does that mean? Now, this in the printed version of the Green New Deal, it says net zero emissions by 2050.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and the reason they I remember seeing this happen. So when they originally said zero carbon emissions, people were like, oh, so you mean no more airline travel?
That's exactly what they mean.
Cars?
Yeah.
And, you know, so as that was happening, people were like, oh, we got to fix this. I can't sign on board with that. So, yeah, that's why some of this got changed for sure. You know, it's really interesting. The reason that the one comment that stuck out to me that got me interested in even reading this, besides, you know, me being interested in knowing what's going on, is somebody commented and said, yeah, have you read the Green New Deal? It reads like a middle school, like, student wrote it. Like, just kind of the way it, like, the order and everything. And they're like, yeah, it just doesn't feel like it was even just well written, you know, which was pretty interesting. But yeah, it starts off with like some scary, scary stuff. They first reference a special report on global warming of 1.5 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, the IPCC.
Yep. And then it starts saying some pretty pretty scary stuff. Stuff that, you know, definitely is going to need some citing of sources and some reading. More than $500 trillion of lost economic output
annually.
Yeah.
And $500 trillion.
Yeah.
Right now, I believe in the world, what's the money supply in the world? Isn't like, I don't know. $500 trillion, that's way beyond our GDP.
Yeah, yeah.
It's ridiculous. How could that be lost?
Yeah, it's a lot of money. So this is by the year 2100, by the way, is where this projection is.
Oh, mass migration from regions most affected by climate change. That's really hurting the United States. Great, so build the freaking wall.
Yeah, I don't even know that that's I certainly don't think there's going to be mass migration to New York. If this is true, you know, like probably away from New York, I would think, but I could be wrong. I don't know. So as I go through this, and you mentioned the net zero emissions by 2050, there's just a lot of random numbers thrown in here that don't seem to have substantiation behind them, I guess is the best
just a whole bunch of scare stuff.
Yeah, a ton of scare tactics. And then so on page 3, it says the United States is currently experiencing several related crises. And the very first one is life expectancy declining, while basic needs such as clean air, clean water, healthy food, adequate health care, housing, transportation, and education are inaccessible to a significant portion of the United States population. Half of that I don't believe. But then the other half...
I don't believe life expectancy is declining in the U.S.
That's the first thing. I thought our life expectancy was not declining at all.
Let me tell you this. If you're an aborted baby, your life expectancy has really been reduced quite a bit. So that's something to bear in mind.
Yeah, I guess they could factor that in. But my thing is these other things like healthcare, housing, transportation, education. What do these have to do with climate change? Like, say you're behind climate change 100%, you believe it. What do they have to do with climate change?
Well, this has nothing to do with climate. This is, as we know, this is nakedly apparent as precisely what it is, which is a power grab. Yeah. That's what they want, is more control over our lives. Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break here on Radio Free New York. We'll treat you like family at Mark's Pizzeria. We'll treat you like family at Mark's Pizzeria. Great pizza, fresh and good. Simply the best in your neighborhood. Come in, we'll get to know you. Call you by name. We can bring it to you any time of the day. Mark's Pizzeria.
This is Dom Genova, owner of Genesee Valley Motors in Avon, your no-nonsense car dealer. Well, we're your no-nonsense truck dealer, too, selling Rams and Fords up to the mightiest that they make. And we have a shop with Master Techs open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., 6 days a week, even Saturday, so you can get your truck serviced when it's not billing hours for you. You may not be used to that. Visit RochesterWorkTrucks.com. That's RochesterWorkTrucks.com.
You're listening to Radio Free New York on the WYSL stations.
All right, guys, welcome back to Radio Free New York. We are talking about the Green New Deal. We're reading it for the first time, really. I mean, I've got a couple notes. I skimmed through it earlier today, but really just kind of looking through this and just understanding what's being proposed here. But before we dive into it, I want to welcome a few people to the show who've joined us online. Mark, Brian, Arian, Douglas, and Bert, thank you guys so much for joining us. If you guys have any questions about what we're doing here or any comments that you guys want to hear maybe on the air about this as we're reading through it, feel free comment in on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, and I'll check them out. Brian mentioned that this Green New Deal was actually put together initially by Howie Hawkins, who ran for governor for the Green Party the last 12 years.
Oh, well, that explains the fifth grade writing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Looks like Michael Warren is in here as well, and Jim. So thank you guys so much for joining us. And yeah, so we've only made it to page 3. I mean, this is...
Well, page 3 is a fun page because that's got all the, got the class envy and racism in it.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of that good stuff in there.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So if I just take a look here at the bottom of page 3, they start talking about like what climate change has done, and so they go,
assuming that there's climate change.
Yeah, you know, we'll leave that one up for debate too, because there's global warming, global cooling, climate change. There's so many things going on right now, it's really hard to keep track. So it goes, whereas climate change, pollution, and environmental destruction have
exacerbated
systemic, racial, regional, societal, environmental, and economic injustices. And then it goes, referred to in this preamble as systemic injustices, by disproportionately affecting indigenous communities, communities of color, migrant communities, deindustrialized communities, depopulated rural communities, the poor, low-income workers, women, the elderly, the unhoused, people with disabilities, and youth, referred to in this preamble as the frontline and vulnerable communities.
Could there be a more ridiculous statement? I mean, have you ever walked along and, you know, there's a big old diesel bus going along and there's some poor woman with a briefcase in the middle of a group of people, all that pollution just immediately clouds up and runs over and sticks to her. I hate that.
It's pretty crazy.
What?
I mean, I would love to see and like have a sincere, like a really sincere conversation with somebody who believes this and maybe has what they believe is evidence to back it up. Like I'd love to see and understand like where this statement came about, because I want to believe, and this may be very naive of me, but I want to believe that whoever put this statement together isn't just some crazy person.
No, they're not crazy.
Like that they have something, like some document, some study that has some substance to it that they could be like, well, this is where that came from.
Here's where it came from. The IPCC and its ilk and the global left, led by wonderful people like George Soros, are trying to come up with, what they're trying to do is hoodwink the entire world into this climate change fraud. It's the impetus for the most massive redistribution of wealth that has ever been seen in the history of man. That's what this is all about. This is an attempt. There is no human activity which is possible without the generation of carbon and without the generation of CO2. Those are not bad things, because all life on the planet has a carbon footprint.
Sure. Yeah.
So unless what we want to do is return to prehistory, when there's virtually the only living things on the earth are paramecium, then we're going to have a carbon footprint, and there's nothing anybody can do about it, and it's not a problem anyway.
Sure. Yeah.
Carbon dioxide is a trace element in the atmosphere. It's there's more argon in the atmosphere than there is carbon dioxide. If you had $100,000 in cash, $3.20 would be CO2.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Brian brings up a good point here. He's commenting in on Facebook, and he says, I think they have stocks in renewable energy resources.
Well, of course they do.
Yeah, that's a good reason.
All these people are invested in all these dopey windmills and solar. We got one right next door here in Buffalo, the wonderful Buffalo Billion, our very own Solyndra over in Buffalo.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So I would love to get one of these people and bring them on the show. They probably won't show up.
One and two, if they did show up, all they're going to do is chant bumper sticker phrases at you.
Yeah, yeah. But I would love to just understand, you know, what's going through there, because then the very next statement is like a total 180 degree. It says, whereas climate change constitutes a direct threat to the national security of the United States. So climate change causes racism and is now terrorism, I guess, based on that statement. I mean, this is me trying to follow along, you know, with this bill here. And, you know, Bernie Sanders, I think, was the one that started that piece, who said climate change is more dangerous. Or what did he say? Climate change is the number one national security issue for the United States, not ISIS, or something like that, when he was running.
Who knows?
You know, so now...
he says all kinds of nutty stuff.
He does,
he's just a dotty old guy. The guy's never had a real job in his 73 years on this planet.
Yeah.
Basically, he's been a politician, a community organizer, and he belonged to a commune once, and he got thrown out for laziness after like 4 days. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but Brian on Facebook wants to know how much he gets paid if he doesn't feel like working.
Oh, and listen, you know, if I would love to chat with Bernie Sanders, I'd like to ask him about his three houses, Mr. Class Warfare.
Yep. And Brian... Don't worry, they've got you covered. A little bit further down on the sheet, it says they're going to create millions of good, high-wage jobs in the United States with this.
Total lie.
Yep. And
government has never made one single freaking job.
No. Well, it's interesting. They then liken it to World War II and all the people that got jobs in World War II. And I don't think they realized that was shipping people off to war, which has a very high carbon footprint, you know, diesel tanks, planes, you know, all this stuff to provide jobs.
Let's just take one proposition out of the Green New Deal and just discuss it for just a moment. Sure. They propose to get rid of all, internal combustion cars, which, of course, is like 99.5% of them, by what, in 12 years or something, 2030? They want to get rid of all cars, and we're all supposed to take high-speed rail. So the question arises, how are people supposed to get around? Oh, they also want to get rid of air travel. So what we're going to do is we're going to have high-speed rail everywhere. Let's think about that. The diverse and widely... dispersed population of the United States is all going to have rail lines, you know, someplace where it makes sense and people will be able to use them conveniently. Can you just think about how much steel is going to have to be manufactured for the rails?
The economy.
What about the carbon footprint of that? We're gonna have to mine all of these materials. We're gonna have to get all this iron ore out of the ground, smelt it into high tensile strength steel. We're gonna have to mine all of the material you need for the batteries. Which, by the way, you know where the most of that is for the batteries for electric cars?
No,
it's in China.
Yeah,
we don't have it here. Yeah. We don't have the lithium in this country. We get it from China.
So it's going to be on the boat.
So we're gonna be dependent on yet another, you know, fringe nut bar political entity.
Mm.
We just got ourselves free of the Middle East.
Yep.
And now we're going to hitch ourselves to a communist country and be dependent on them.
Yeah. Matt comments in on Facebook, and he's got a pretty good point. You know, we could probably recreate a first copy of the Green New Deal to reduce our carbon footprint, and that is Congress has to fly commercial instead of private. There you go. You reduce your carbon footprint right there. That's great. I love that. That's awesome. So,
well, listen, you know that the elites are still going to have air travel in cars.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
I mean, because they're so important. That's why Leo DiCaprio has to take a G6 to a climate summit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, and it comes back to, like, you know, how many people can afford a Tesla today? Right. I can't. I think I know two people. Who can, I mean, yeah, maybe you could get into one of the lower end models. They're trying to make a vehicle below $40,000. But if the only vehicle option to you is a vehicle that starts at $40,000, there's a lot of people that, you know, my first few cars cost me $500. That's all I could afford.
It's the same argument that, you know, the cash for clunkers thing eliminated a lot of perfectly serviceable, maybe not luxurious, maybe not pretty to look at, used vehicles. They were all destroyed by the Obama administration.
Yeah.
And, you know, every cash for clunkers deal. Here's the economic inefficiency of all this. And that's why the Green New Deal can't possibly work, because they have not factored in the inefficiency of government. Every cash for clunkers deal cost the American taxpayers $26,000.
Really?
Yeah.
So how'd that work? Like, the government gave them a subsidy for that?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But what would happen is, if you brought your car in, you're perfectly serviceable. And they had a list of models that they regarded as,
that
you know,
I recall.
Apparently inefficient enough.
Yeah.
But they had to be destroyed. So perfectly serviceable cars were brought to dealers who put this drained all the oil out of the engine and put this this calcium product in the engine. And fired it up and revved it until the engine seized, and then they junked the cars.
Interesting.
And some of these cars were you know, you can see videos of them on YouTube.
Yeah.
All these cars just, like, being destroyed and bursting into flames. And these were cars that, you know, like a single mom who's got to get to her server job at the local restaurant, she can buy a car like this for $1,500. They can't afford $500 a month car payment.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. That's interesting. Well, we're going to take a quick break here on Radio Free New York, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little more a bit about the Green Deal.
WYSL 92.1 FM, the new 95.5 FM West, and News Power 1040 AM. Online, WYSL1040.com.
You're listening to the voice of Liberty. WYSL. AM 1040 Avon Rochester, FM 92.1 Rochester, FM 95.5 Spencerport, and WYSL1040.com everywhere.
At University Eye Specialists, I see many patients who suffer from dry, irritated, or itchy eyes. Sometimes these symptoms are often due to severe dry eye. Over-the-counter eye drops often help, but sometimes dry eye may require treatment with prescription medication. Dry eye is a very treatable medical condition that should be taken very seriously. The health of your eyes is very important to us. Please feel free to call any one of our local offices for an appointment.
In America, we are living longer, healthier lives. The longer we live, the more likely we are to develop eye conditions such as glaucoma, macular degeneration, and diabetic eye disease. If you are over the age of 40, it's important to have a thorough eye examination in order to identify vision-threatening conditions at an early stage. At University Eye, we have the technology and experience to screen for and to treat glaucoma, macular degeneration, and diabetic retinopathy. At University Eye, your vision is our mission.
Phone 1-800-724-0938.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
All right, guys, we are back here on Radio Free New York, and it sounds like we've got a caller on the line. Who's calling in?
Not just any caller. It's John the Optimist!
John the Optimist. Now, I asked Bob, I said, is John actually an optimist or not? You know, you never know. But
well, let's ask him.
Yeah.
John, are you an optimist?
I am an optimist.
Awesome.
Especially regarding the Buffalo Bills.
See, now, I was just filling it.
What Bob was saying.
Andrew was not familiar with your act, and I was explaining. Now, what is your record? You've never missed a home game?
I've missed two home games in the last 30 years.
Wow.
And you were there in the days of the Rock Pile.
Yes. When I was in high school, I used to go to quite a few of the games. We were limited because we didn't have a lot of money growing up, but once in a while we got to a game, but we were really huge fans. And so we'd watch and listen on radio to every game, and just unbelievable.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll tell you, some of the best Bills team, I think the best Bills team of all time was the 1964-1965 Buffalo Bills.
So just like that, Andrew, your show has been turned into a sports calling show by John the Optimist,
yeah.
because we wave the Bills flag at him. We all know what happens then. But I know that John has something to say about the Green New Deal.
Yes. I wanted to say, you know, I've been called a denier because I reject to a great extent that climate change is substantially man-made. I still, just using common sense, and some scientific studies that have rejected that man-made climate change is that much of a problem. I go back to some of the readings I've seen. The sun is one of the biggest dictators of climate change.
Yes.
In fact, I got into a debate with somebody on an NPR program about that, and they called me a denier, and they said to their panel, well, John thinks that climate change is caused by the sun. And I'm like, duh. the sun is one of the biggest dictators of climate change.
Yeah, actually, what the people who actually know about this are saying is that the sunspots are quieting down. We're getting into a quiescent phase, and that actually the temperatures are going to cool somewhat. I don't think we're going to freeze our butts off, you know, like New Era Field style in December, John.
Well, that's the other issue. I heard that also, that the sunspots are going to disrupt the climate even more. And, you know, when you think about it, even the moon has an effect on climate because the moon, of course, with its gravitational pull, creates the tide and, you know, that type of thing. So you can look at volcanoes. Volcanoes spew out a lot of methane and that type of thing, and you're not going to be able to stop that. And you mentioned CO2, Bob, CO2 being a very small part of the atmosphere. CO2 is not a toxin.
No, it's a plant food.
CO2 is plant food, that's right. In fact, there was a study done, I think, by Harvard or one of the Ivy League schools. I read it maybe last year, and they actually put tremendous amounts of CO2 in one sample of plants and less CO2 in for other samples of plants. And the sample that had a lot of CO2 had an unbelievable growth rate. So, I'm thinking, wait a minute, CO2 should be our friend. CO2 is the substance of producing oxygen, which obviously we need, and through photosynthesis. So this fraud and the environmental movement has been taken over by the Marxists. This started back, I think, going back in the 1800s.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, yeah, look, you mentioned volcanoes. When a major volcano erupts, the environmental impact is way more than any nuclear weapon that has ever been envisioned by man. In 1816, when Krakatoa blew up, that was the year without a summer. That was the year when in North America, in the United States, there was snow on the ground 12 months of that year because of the particulate matter that went up into the upper atmosphere, and it blocked out the sun, and it changed all these weather patterns.
Wow. Yeah. When was that?
1816.
Wow.
And when you think about it, 14,000 years ago, where we're sitting right now, definitely where I'm sitting right now in downtown Rochester, there was a glacier a mile and a half high. And that glacier melted away without man's influence. It's unbelievable, some of the things I hear. And the deniers on the other side, they call me a denier.
Well,
and people like me a denier. Andrew, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. You're a millennial. And
No, absolutely.
What are your thoughts?
And he's a smart one, too, John.
So I've always, just from the research I've done, I guess I haven't truly looked into it extensively. So I certainly can't speak to anything more than everything I've read. You look at historical weather patterns. We've had an ice age, and well before the car existed. So I do believe that the Earth goes through natural, I guess you could call it climate change cycles. And to your point about the sunspot activity, that's absolutely a thing because I'm a ham radio operator, and certain bands that we use are impacted by radiation from sunspot activity. And I want to say it was maybe 8 years ago, the 10-meter band, I think, worked really well, and now it doesn't, and the cycles go through and it'll work again. So I see a whole lot of that. I'm sure that there are some chemicals that we're probably releasing that do bad things, you know, whether that's we're destroying the ground, we're destroying wildlife, like that is absolutely true.
Yeah, heavy metals are bad.
Yeah, yeah, you know, mercury in the water, those type of things, that's not good. But whether or not it's changing the temperature of the Earth, I'm certainly not convinced that we're a major contributor or the leading reason. We might a little bit be, but I don't know where that line is and what a little bit would be or a lot. But I don't think we're the major contributor.
I read and heard, I think it was an NPR, that our carbon dioxide levels are the highest in 800,000 years. And I'm thinking, how did they know that?
Yeah, who is tracking that?
It's... To me, that's it could be fraudulent. In fact, there's been a lot of fraud in some of the findings and some of the metering of certain atmospheric indicators.
Yeah, you're thinking of the East Anglia, you know, that study,
right, and others also.
And Michael Mann at the University of Pennsylvania with the vaunted hockey stick graph that showed this huge change, which was largely contrived. Because what they do, John, is they suppress the historical data, and then they exaggerate the current data to get the result that they want. It's the age-old draw the curve and plot the data. And you can also tell because of the political content in these opinions, which is being pushed by these so-called climate experts. Talk to any meteorologist that you know who is, you know, reputable, working for a major TV station or a network, and they all just roll their eyes when you ask them about climate change.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
They think it's a joke.
Yeah. Well, I had a debate on NPR with the head of climatology at Cornell University. This is going back probably 4 or 5 years ago. And I brought out the points I just talked about, and he was silent. He was basically silent and didn't really have any explanation, didn't want to debate the issue.
No.
Had nothing to say to combat what I was telling him.
And you know why he didn't want to debate the issue? Because he gets grants from the federal government. The college gets grants to arrive at these self-fulfilling prophecies about climate. Because this is all an elaborate, as Andrew and I have lined out here earlier, it's a power grab. It's a massive income redistribution, and it's political in nature. It's not scientific. How many times have you heard the term, this is settled science?
Yeah, all the time.
There's no such thing as settled science. Science is always evolving.
Mm-hmm. I call the NPR station here in Rochester quite a bit, and I'm constantly berated, I should say, by the guests, by the host, on my views. It's unbelievable. But, you know, the left has taken over the climate change movement, and that's one of the problems. And you bring up a good point. They're getting paid for doing these studies, and that has an effect, I think, on some of their findings, because if they have negative findings on the correlation, they're not going to get any more work, especially in the Obama administration. And I'll give you an example. And I remember the Fast Ferry.
As if I could forget it.
Yeah.
Well, when I was involved with the Iraq, and I still am. I'm a member of the Rochester Downtown Development Corporation, and at the time, Rochester Business Alliance. And I'd go to meetings. We'd talk about the Fast Ferry in its early stages, and everybody laughed about it. And within a couple of years, things started to change. And all of a sudden, Louise Slaughter came in to talk to us. Some other politicians came up to talk to us. And all of a sudden, the RBA, the RDDC, oh, yeah, this is a great idea. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? In fact, I got in a couple debates after they decided it was a good idea. So they had a study done, a financial study done, on how much money this was going to make, even after the first year. That's how quickly it was going to turn a profit. And I'm thinking, that makes no sense. How many people from Toronto are going to come to Rochester?
Well, Toronto's a city of 4 million people. Rochester's a city of about 200,000-ish.
So it didn't make any common sense,
it was ridiculous.
all the politicians, Louise Slaughter included, the state of New York, the federal government, and a lot of investors to do this thing, which made no sense. And the rest is history. We know what happened.
Yeah, cost us $40 million.
They paid for this study, which was a scientific study based upon discounted cash flows and projections that they had evidence for. And what was that study worth? Nothing.
Well, it's very interesting. You remember the late Bill Noje, God bless him.
Yeah.
He was the volunteer head of the RGRTA at the time, and they were one of the lead agencies in the whole Fast Ferry project. And he cited a study because something smelled funny about the whole project to him. So the guys at the Transit Authority commissioned this study, and the conclusion was that in order for the Fast Ferry to break even, every single human being who went to Toronto would have to take the Fast Ferry times 1.5. So not only would every existing person have to take the Fast Ferry, there'd be a 50% increase in traffic, nobody driving anymore, nobody flying. And the conclusion was run, do not walk from us. Anyway, I don't want to get too far into the Fast Ferry, but I'll turn it back here to Andrew.
Well, Bob, you don't want to let those pesky numbers get in the way, though. I mean,
it's a great story. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, no. And, you know, just reading in on the comment here, John, the optimist, it looks like you have a friend in the comments. And I think he's being a little sarcastic here, but he says, boy, I love losing Super Bowls. So
we'll be back.
We'll be back. Awesome.
2019, year of Donald J. Trump and the Buffalo Bills.
There you go. That's why we call him John the Optimist. Thanks, John. Great hearing from you again.
See ya.
Guys, thank you for joining us here on Radio Free New York. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back here in a moment.
From Avon Feed and Supply, introducing Dry Shod waterproof footwear. Dry, comfortable feet, even on those warmer days. Avon Feed has a big selection of Dry Shod for men and women, offering fully flexible athletic shoe sizing for great fit and maneuverability. Its exclusive insulation breathes and keeps you warm without bulk, and you'll stay dry top to bottom with state-of-the-art waterproofing. While you're at Avon Feed, find everything for your pet, from feeding bowls to toys, leads, collars, beds, crates, and tie-outs. Avon Feed and Supply has with a big pet chain stores will never have Tim Cole and his great knowledgeable staff. And if you think you'll save money at that pet superstore, well, think again. While you're at Avon Feed, don't forget the two-legged pets with River Rat Thousand Island cheese and great flavors, including hard-to-find mean and nasty. Plus, once again, nut butters, Nunday mustards, and Rickles pickles. Open weekdays 9 to 6, Saturday 9 to 4. Avon Feed and Supply. West Main Street at the bottom of the hill, just west of the Circle.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
And we're back here on Radio Free New York. I'm your host, Andrew Hollister, here with Bob Savage. And we just got off the phone with John the Optimist. That was pretty cool. I enjoyed the call-in, that's for sure.
JTO's always full of yeah, he's an entertaining guy, and he's very upbeat, and he has a lot of good stories to tell. I'm not quite sure why he's calling NPR.
To be optimistic. He's an optimistic guy. That's why.
I guess you have to engage. Yeah, I know he writes to the DNC editorial staff all the time, too.
Oh, that's awesome. Great. And well, welcome some more people online. Sandra, Douglas, Danny, Dan, Jason, Carrie, and my wife, Yolanda's listening, too. So awesome. Thank you, guys. Welcome to the show. So we're talking about the Green New Deal, and we're just going through it. And and we didn't make it so far, which is fine, because that means there's more to talk about, and maybe I can actually find some things for you. But I'm going to read off some of the highlights that I picked out as I was reading this that I think you guys might find interesting, concerning, maybe cool. I don't know. One of the things it promises is that we're going to meet 100% of power demand in the United States through clean, renewable and zero emission energy sources.
What's the timeline for that?
I think this is a 10-year national mobilization plan. So 10 years, I'm thinking.
100% renewable in 10 years.
That's what it says. What is this? This is page 7 line 6 through 9.
That conflicts with the preamble for the whole thing.
Yeah, so they've got like a 2030 goal, a 2050 goal, a 2100 apocalyptic prediction here if we don't make it by sorry, I'm reading some of the comments. I don't know that I'm going to repeat all of these on the air. here's this. We're going to upgrade all existing buildings in the United States. So I don't know who's paying for that.
What's the carbon footprint of manufacturing the insulating materials and the, I'm assuming all the power distribution networks, the plumbing and everything else. Is there going to be any carbon output from that? Of course there will. There would every existing building in the United States. This is a joke.
Well, maybe it's going to be grass huts. I don't know. Mud grass huts. Maybe that's it. We're also going to overhaul the transportation systems in the United States. Just going to be overhauled, eliminate pollution, greenhouse gas emissions, zero emission vehicle infrastructure and manufacturing. I'm not sure how you get zero emission and manufacturing in the same sentence side by side like that, but I guess we're going to do that. Here's something. We're going to clean up existing hazardous waste and abandoned sites. Now, this actually kind of sounds good, except you probably don't understand what's required to clean up hazardous waste. We have an organization called the EPA, and there's such a thing as what are called Superfunds. Now, by law here in the United States, you have to use very, very specific, written into law technology to clean up some of these sites. Think of like a lot of oil spills that have just never been cleaned up. Well, why is that? Because legally in the United States, the companies that cause this damage are only responsible for like the first $10 million or something like that. And then the rest rolls over into the Superfund, which is who pays for that? Oh, we do. We pay for that. It's depleted. There's no money in there. But not only that, the technology that you have to use by law hasn't existed for about 30 years now. It's so old, it's so decrepit, that the only places you can find it are like museums in Africa.
By the way, that's a great point about obsolescence. If you're talking about retrofitting every single building in the United States, first of all, even if we had the money to do that, even if we had the technology to do that, you know how long that would take?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's crazy. Well, in New York, with our scaffold laws, I mean, we're out to way beyond the apocalypse.
Imagine every building in New York City being retrofitted. By the time you got done with it, most of the technology would be outdated.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So we're talking about things that just aren't feasible.
This is like something written by a 9-year-old.
I agree. So to make this happen, the federal government is going to take into account the complete environmental and social costs and impacts of emissions through existing laws, new policies and programs, and ensuring the frontline and vulnerable communities shall not be adversely affected. But get this, it gets better. Providing resources, training, and high-quality education, including higher education to all people of the United States. So they snuck free college in there.
Yeah, free college.
Nobody noticed it. Nobody's talking about that. But they did sneak free college into the Green New Deal.
And what they mean by that, by the way, is not college. What they mean by that is massive indoctrination centers led by leftists.
Yep. They're also going to ensure that this mobilization creates high quality union jobs.
Yeah. The emphasis, by the way, on union.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. And guarantees a job with a family sustaining wage. I'm not sure how they're going to calculate that. I'm sure there is a way, though. I'm sure economists know exactly what that number is. Adequate family and medical leave, paid vacations, and retirement security to all people of the United States.
Oh, here's one. I'm on page 10. I don't know where you are. To achieve the Green New Deal goals and mobilization, a Green New Deal will require the following goals and projects. Okay, you little proles, are you taking notes? Here we go. Providing and leveraging in a way that ensures that the public receives appropriate ownership stakes and returns on investment, adequate capital, including through community grants, public banks, and other public financing, technical expertise, supporting policies, and other forms of assistance to communities, organizations, federal, state, and local government agencies, and businesses working on the Green New Deal mobilization. What that is, just in case you missed it, folks, that's communism.
Yeah.
That's a communistic power grab where government assumes the role of production, management of the economy,
distribution,
yep, and
everything,
and controlling every aspect of your life. This is communism.
Yeah, yeah. And Nate on Facebook says, "Sounds like a speech written by somebody running for middle school class president. Promise everything with no way to really achieve it." Now, I did actually find two things in here that I agree with that I think we should take out of the New Deal and just make them happen, which is ensuring public lands, waters, and oceans are protected and the eminent domain is not abused. I'm a big fan of not abusing eminent domain.
Yeah, but I don't think they're thinking the same thing you are.
No,
though,
they're not. But but I like the fact that they at least know what eminent domain is, and they're thinking maybe we shouldn't abuse it. So I see some education points there where it's like, oh, maybe that's our in. You know, that's our in to say, hey, you know what really makes sense? Not taking private property away from people.
Not what they mean.
No, it's not. But maybe we can talk about it with them. And
what they mean is taking property away, but making sure that it's done by the federal government.
Yeah, exactly.
And not by state or local governments.
Yep. But then one other thing that's in here is ensuring a commercial environment where every business person is free from unfair competition and domination by domestic or international monopolies.
Oh, okay.
Now,
the government's not a monopoly, though.
Yeah. So what I think that they mean by this is socialism, right?
Well, what they mean, it is socialism. It's crony capital. That's what they're referring to, and the government picking winners and losers.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm all for, absolutely. Government shouldn't pick winners and losers. Government shouldn't allow lobbyists to make legislation that benefits, you know, another company. We shouldn't be giving subsidies. I don't think that's what they mean with this statement, but that's the agenda that I'd like to push forward is, government shouldn't be picking winners and losers. I think what they mean by this statement is socialism, though.
Of course.
Unfortunately.
Well,
so,
yeah. I mean, that's what the impetus for this whole thing is. You know, it's interesting. If you look at the public opinion surveys that have been taken in the last 5 years, and what issues are most concerning to the American public, security of the border is extremely high. The economy is extremely high. Government intrusion into people's lives, rates extremely high. At the bottom two categories in almost all of these surveys, and I can't cite which ones they are right now, but it's pretty consistent. It's racism and climate change. Those are like at the bottom of the barrel of concerns.
Sure.
So this is just all this is. This is a political stunt, frankly, a very wide-scale one, which is designed to fire up the base and get the contributions flooding in, because they know that it's going to be a tall order to unhorse Donald Trump in 2020.
Sure. Yeah. No,
just ask yourself this question, Andrew. If you took Joe Biden out of the equation, what moderate Democrat candidate is there?
I don't know. There's like 90 Democrat candidates at this point. I don't even know like any of them. So
they're all radicals.
I'm gonna guess that
everyone is a radical.
Yeah. It's interesting because the Democrat Party this year seems to be taking on how the Republican Party looked last time around, where they had like 19 candidates. Now all the Democrats are like, no, it's our turn. It'll be interesting.
30 candidates.
Yeah, we'll do it better. I don't know. Have any Republicans announced at all? Has there been anybody to announce to challenge?
I think that we can assume Donald Trump's going to run.
Yeah, but besides him, has anybody been like, I'm going to primary Donald Trump or anything like that? Or
not yet. No, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so
I think they just want to step. I mean, listen, I get it. They want to step aside and let the circular firing squad continue with the Democrats.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty interesting. So that's the Green New Deal. I mean, that's a really quick summary. I recommend you guys download it yourself, read through it. Somebody keeps saying in the comments that it mentions something about urine in here.
Cow farts, too.
So, yeah, cow farts and urine. So we'll check this out. I will catch you guys on Friday on Radio Free New York.